what would you do to get to go to heaven? Would you empty your bank account for it? Would you suffer some humiliation for it? I mean, when you really get to thinking about the idea of going to being in heaven, it kind of narrows it down to what you wouldn't do or would do when you start thinking about the alternative. It's not like there's heaven, then there's sub-heaven, and then there's below that a little heaven. It's not like, you know, a five-star heaven. Then, but maybe I can't afford a five-star, so I'm not going to get rid of all my bank account, and I'll just take a four-star one. Or I ain't even that far into it. I just want to give me a one-star heaven. I can kind of live for that one. That's one of those where you just do very, very little about it. Well, it don't work that way. Heaven's five-star.
Amen.
So what would you do today to get a go?
All right.
Well, I think I know the answer. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think about that a little bit and maybe impress it more upon our minds. I think the answer is whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, yes.
Whatever it takes. That means if I have to suffer some humiliation for it, well, I'll suffer some humiliation for it. Nobody wants to hurt, but I'd suffer pain for this one. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was at Brother Tony's house when I hadn't been saved too long. I was staying with them, and I remember Chad saying, "I love pizza." Brother Tony said to him, he was kind of small at the time, or young. Brother Tony says, "I think that's an exaggeration. I think that's an overstatement."
Uh-oh.
"Nope," he said. "It's not. I love pizza." Well, it made me start to thinking about what love is, what the value of things is, and I got to thinking, there's things that I've said that I love that after that conversation I've had to have said, well, I like it pretty well. I like pizza, but I don't like it enough to suffer all night long about it. So I won't eat it if I think that's going to, I don't love that. But when it comes to heaven, I'd say amen. If that's what it takes.
Whatever it takes. Amen.
If that's what it takes.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
Because I know that it's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth it. There was the conclusion of an old minister's meeting where Sister X says, the conclusion of the matter with them thinking about should you or shouldn't you, and it had to do with marriage, I think. And the conclusion she had was this, that heaven will be worth it at any price. That was the conclusion of the minister's meeting. Heaven will be worth it at any price. If you think you're giving too much, you're not giving too much.
That's right.
It'll be worth it.
That's right. Amen.
What would we do today? There's sometimes we're called upon in this life to exhibit humility. The very circumstance demands it. There's nothing else for you to do in this circumstance but just simply humble yourself down to the will of our mighty God.
Yeah.
You know, just humble down to it.
Yeah.
And say, "Thy will be done, Lord." That's all you can do is do it. And it's called upon us to do it. You know, many people won't humble themselves when we get to that point.
That's right.
But we want to be able to say, "What will I do? Lord, whatever it takes,
whatever it takes
for me to be pleasing to you, whatever it takes for me to be able to make heaven at the end of it.
Yes.
I put value on things in this life before, but I'm going to tell you, when you measure it really in the way it ought to be measured, there's nothing of this life, nothing of this world, nothing of the things around us that really come up to being valuable at all. They're to be used.
Amen.
We put the value on them for what they are worth. I mean, for what we're using them for.
Uh-huh.
But for me to have to a place of division between me and my brother over an object, over a thing, over an idea even that's, I know there's conviction, but over an idea that's meaningless, you'd have to say, it ain't worth anything. Lord, what do I have to do? I'll do whatever I have to do. Go whether I ever have to go to be able to accomplish it. I want us to get that in our minds today. Are we real? Are we true about that? Would I do whatever I need to do? Jesus said one time to the disciples, that he was, he had to go and do a work that they couldn't do. You remember Peter saying, you're all going to forsake me and leave me here. Peter says, I'd never forsake
you.
That's what he said, didn't he? He wasn't lying. He meant that. I've been in those places to where, well, I'm going to tell you, you get in the middle of a good fired up monarch meeting and you can sure proclaim some things.
Yeah.
And you get that same situation, you get something coming down on you in the middle of the night and you're by yourself and it's dark and it's not the same thing as standing in a fired up monarch. Right?
That's right, brother. You're right.
Peter says, Lord, never forsake you. But the Lord knows what you are in the dark.
Yes, he does. That's right.
When we say, Lord, I'll do anything, I mean anything, let's measure that very carefully. But Lord, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever it takes. I want us to be real. I want us to be able to say that, but I don't want us to say that in the heat of a good meeting and not really know what we're talking about. We need to know it with the assurance and faith in God that we're serving one that's able to take us through anything. That's why I can say, Lord, whatever it takes is that I got one, Sister Mary, that loves me. And he's not going to put on me more I can bear. And he's going to lead me through that. Whatever it takes, Lord, is whatever you can give. Whatever you say it takes. It's not beyond me. I've been in those kind of places. You know, all the disciples said the same thing. We blame it on Peter because he's the voice. But you know, all the disciples said the same thing. They agreed with Peter. We're not going to deny you, Lord. We'll be right there with you all the way. But when it comes crunch time, they've all gone. It was all come with the persecution. Persecution's there. There's nobody there but the Lord.
That's right.
Well, whatever it takes might mean in this life some persecution. Would you take persecution? I remember one time having this thought. It wasn't a night dream. It was a daydream of sorts. It was kind of a vision in a way. And where I don't remember exactly where I was at when it happened, but it was very, very real to me. It was like I was standing before God. In the judgment.
Okay.
And the Lord says, depart from me. And I'm like, but Lord, wasn't there anything that you could have done to have kept me saved? And the Lord said, yes, I could have sent some trouble your way, but you wouldn't have wanted it. Now, wait a minute, Lord. Maybe I would. Maybe I would want that thing that would have kept me close to you. What do we want to do? We want to be in the place that we can say with a full heart, Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, you send whatever I need to get me to heaven. I want to look, starting off, very familiar scripture, 2 Kings 5. I'll start with the first verse. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Well, I see trouble just in that statement.
Yeah.
see trouble right there. Naaman was a great man. Would anybody in here want to ascribe the word great to yourselves? How about that? And Marty Clevenger was a great man of the Green Bay. I wouldn't want to put that on my head. He was a great man with his master. I think most people would want to be great men with their master. I'm somebody. We all want to be somebody in a sense. Naaman was a great man, and no doubt, wherever we find ourselves, folks, there's going to be problems there. Sometimes we think that only rich people or people that have things or like that are proud. Do you know they didn't? The rich people didn't corner the market on being proud. These people that I know that ain't got a thing to be proud of that I can see is just as proud as they have nothing but their pride. They don't have things. They don't have riches. They have no boasts. They have no talents that they show. They have nothing but pride. Don't mess with their pride. They got their pride. There's folks up in the mountains like that. You can find some proud people living in a shack up there in the mountains and just proud people. The Lord's going to come for that. Lord, help us. He was an honorable because of, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. I want to bring out a point about this situation here, too. You know, there was a lot of what we might call lower class people mentioned in the scriptures or in passing. Her lineage wasn't mentioned, this little maid. It wasn't much said about her. Other than this story, you can't find anything. But here's somebody that we ought to take note of.
Yes, that's right, brother.
She was a captive put in a position. No doubt she had a heart, I think, like Joseph, that simply said that the Lord put me in this situation. And maybe like Daniel, that saw God in everything, and whatever happens, God's let happen to me in my life. She didn't even seem bitter. I think I'd have been bitter if it had took me away captive and put me in a situation like that. I think I'd have been bitter. I wouldn't have helped the guy out at all. I ain't helping you out in a situation like that. You think you're a great man, superior to me? Not hardly. We get that, especially Americans.
Okay.
We all have that. Hey, we're somebody here. She was a captive girl, and yet she waited on Naaman's wife, and she humbled herself down to the situation God had given her, and was going to do what God bid her to do in the situation, which was to use what she had. Her heritage, her lineage, her knowledge of God. She was a witness for the Lord.
Yes.
Right there in that situation. Lord, whatever it takes. Do you mean to be a servant to somebody else? Lord, whatever it takes. I don't know how to save myself, so if you'll lead me into what I'm supposed to do, Lord, I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful. You, Lord, isn't asking great things of you and I. Only what we're able to do. Yes. And every one of us has got the same capability to humble ourselves down and do the will of God as He brings it daily to us. He puts us in situations. Hey, listen. I never wanted to be a preacher. Now, I know you say, well, you ought to want to be one. No, I'm going to tell you just the truth about it. I never thought, oh, I want to be a preacher. Never thought that. You know what made me one? I know the Lord gave me a calling, but this is what happened with me. I said, Lord, whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it takes. Lord, you save me. You save me and I'll do whatever it takes. Lord, just save me and I will. And you know, there come times that I was challenged by that, but I had to say, Lord, I told you whatever you wanted, I'll give it to you. Whatever it takes. And before long, the Lord's saying, okay, this is what it takes.
All right.
Well, I'm answering questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. That's, Lord, are you sure that's what it takes?
Yeah.
You're going to suffer everybody for what it takes for me? This is what it's going to take.
That's right.
Yes, Lord. I'll do it. I'm going to tell you, the scripture was never so real as that he chose the foolishness of preaching. I felt so foolish at times, and just foolish, and I ended up having to tell the Lord, Lord, I'll be a fool for you. Because I told you whatever it takes. And if it takes that, which seems to be completely contrary to my nature, I'll do it. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Lord, help us to be that kind of a spirit in the situations that we get in. It's God that willeth. It's God that allows. It's God that puts us in these kinds of places. I want to reiterate today that if God created this universe out of nothing, then it stands to reason that everything that is God. There is nothing outside of God. The wind don't blow. The grass don't grow. The rivers don't flow. Except for God. He made it all, and when there was nothing, so it stands to reason that everything is God. There isn't a circumstance, there isn't an authority, there isn't anything that happens or does, there isn't any diseases, there isn't any plague, there isn't anything that's not God in this pure theological sense of it. And surely with his children, there is nothing that can come into our lives that's not God. So we ought to be able to respond to life as God. So, if something happens that isn't exactly the way we want it to happen, instead of kicking and fussing, we ought to accept that everything is God, and in God's world, he controls everything, and for his child, he allowed a dimension to come into my world, and I've said to him, whatever it takes, whatever it takes of your dimension, of your world, it's you. Help me to be able to live for you in it.
Amen.
One went and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel, and departed and took him with 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read this letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Well, let me just say this about this particular thing. Lord, help us not to jump to conclusions. he was so wrong, and I'm sure he thought he was so right. It was the only thing that made sense, and we'll have things happen in our life sometimes, and we'll draw a conclusion by the only thing that can make sense, and we're all so wrong. I remember years ago, there was somebody broke in to my dad's cabin. I had some stuff there too, but he broke into my dad's cabin, somebody did, and stole some guns and some knives and some different things, some various things was missing, and one of it was a camera that was missing, and after a while, that really bothered me that somebody had done that, and I thought a lot about it, and all of a sudden, I got a report that somebody that was connected with Wooster, Ohio, that's where he was from, had shown a camera that he wanted to sell, just like my dad's. And I said, aha, there's the fella that stole that stuff. Pretty flimsy evidence, but it sounds good. Uh-huh, I had it all in my mind. Maybe we should check some pawn shops and stuff up there. That guy has surely done it, and he's as guilty as he can be. Well, time went on, and I was just convinced myself after running through my mind one way and another and back and forth and all this that that was the way it had to have been, and that's what made sense, and he ended up finding out that wasn't what it was, and it didn't make sense, and it had nothing to do with it at all. He ended up catching the guy that done it, and it wasn't him, and it was somebody else, and the whole circumstance was different, and I said, well, at least one thing I got out of it was a lesson. Don't jump to conclusions. You don't know what you're talking about, buddy. You don't know what you think you know. God will put things in your life that's right. You can look and say it's wrong and this and that and the other. If we would focus in on God and not the other things, Lord, whatever it takes is what you're sending my way. Lord, whatever it takes is what's coming my way. Lord, help me to be what I'm supposed to be in the middle of the circumstances that happens in my life. God knew that that young man was going to steal that stuff. He could have stopped him. He didn't. It's still all God. It's still all God.
Yeah.
And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter, he said, "Oh my God, these guys have to quarrel with me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You know, I'm not supposing that we should be arrogant. Domineering or pushy. But I do believe we ought to have a confidence in God to where we can recommend him.
Yeah.
You know, Elisha didn't have a doubt in his mind. He didn't have a doubt in his mind. Hey, don't worry about it, king. Send him and we'll show him there's a God. You know, if we're not convinced in our own experience that God delivers from sin, that God helps us with our ways in our life, we're not going to be able to boldly proclaim it. When there are those out there that have the addictions, has the problems, Lord help us, that we've been in the life of whatever it takes and have got the experience of whatever it takes, Lord. And we've been through the battles enough to be able to recommend God in the battles that people have. I went through that battle, and God delivered me in that battle, and God can deliver you. Can't send them over here. Got some problem cases here in Vanceburg. Got some problem cases. Got some people need some help. We're going to send them. Don't send them up to us. We ain't got a clue. No. God's able. Oh, you know enough to deal with them? I don't have to know enough to deal with them. I mean, you've got God that can deal with them. See? Elijah's confident. Mm-hmm. I mean, you stick your neck out to the king, you're confident.
Yeah.
Send to the king, oh, don't hit your clothes. Send him over here. We got something. God's got something. God's in this.
Yes. Yes.
If he made all that effort. Now listen, doesn't it make sense? I mean, I don't know how much somebody wrote the story, so he must have knew something about it. If God set it all the way up to here's a great man, he gets leprosy. And the Lord provides for him a faithful little servant girl in his life to tell him about God.
Right.
Then the king gives him leave and says to go to the prophet.
Right.
And all that. Don't you think the Lord's working?
It was working.
Oh, Lord, help us to be able to see God.
See God.
So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. Well, let's dissect this a little bit. I'm supposing if he hadn't been such a great man, it wouldn't have bothered him so much. How great are you? No, not to my mind. To yours. How great are you in your own mind? How important are you in your own mind? How valuable are you in your own mind? Naaman, no doubt, knew that he was a great man. He'd been lifted up. He'd been valuable. He was a man of valor. God had blessed him. You know, the scripture says to them that think if they stand, take heed lest they fall. That ain't talking to somebody that ain't stood. It's talking to the people that I did.
Yeah.
He's talking to people that fought battles and went through the things and was there and they said, "I'm there. God blessed me. Take heed."
Amen.
Take heed that you don't allow your success to be your downfall. Your success can be to the place that I don't need to pray as earnestly. I don't need to be as faithful as I used to be. Because I'm there. I've arrived. Spiritual. I'm a spiritual guy. You know, the Lord, you get in those kind of places and the Lord will send you what it takes. If you're willing to do whatever it takes, the Lord will send whatever it takes. You can be saved.
Amen.
Your devil's mean. He messes with people's minds all the time. Confuses them totally about the Lord. I think of one thing that people I feel like is confused about. I've heard it most all my saved life, and I heard a lot of people that thought that way about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's been one of the biggest people say, oh, I want to be saved, but I think a blaspheme the Holy Ghost can't be saved. If you want to be saved, you didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost the way that's talking about it. Adam Clark says of that particular scripture that ain't nobody alive on earth today that could have done what it took to do it. Because you have, what those people was done was saying that the works of Jesus Christ was of the devil. You ain't believing the Lord's Jesus is even here and have done that crime. But yet the devil makes people think that they blast, and there's no hope for them. The very idea of you wanting to be saved is an indication that God's dealing with you because you don't have that mind for yourself.
Right.
The very Spirit of God is talking to you. I'd love to be saved. Well, where did that come from? Uh-huh. Spirit of God's working with
that's
you.
Right.
Don't let the devil lie to you.
That's the truth, man. That's true.
I tell you what'll work. Tell the Lord I'm going to be saved and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to be saved. Don't buy in on what the devil's trying to tell you. Anything that comes along and says you can't be saved is a lie from the devil. I know that because Jesus come to die for us.
Yes,
he ain't going to give up on us after dying for us.
That's right.
Well, Naaman was wrong. Mm-hmm. Here's this, the way the story seems. He comes with all of his expectation, pomp, and the ideas. Big ceremony and great deliverance. Wanted to see something big. Something that was worthy of his stature. Something that was going to denote maybe a high point in his life here. So he comes and he has this expectation. Didn't sound like Elijah even got out of the house. Sent a message to him. Oh, he's here? Oh! What was his name? I had a name. Syrian, right? Go tell him what the Lord told me to tell him. Just go tell him. That's good enough. Well, don't you want some more glory than that? Elijah? Come on, Elijah. You can be a part of a great story. The man of God. With his fine robes and everybody watching. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Everybody wants an eye on him. It's a stage. We want the stage. He's going to go out and he's going to do some kind of big thing. And fire will come down and sparks will fly and thunder will roll. And it'll be great. He said, go tell him to dip himself seven times in Jordan. Anybody can say that.
Yeah.
He'll recover his leper. What do you want? Whatever it takes. You want delivered? Whatever it takes. Lord, what do I got to do to be delivered from this situation I'm in?
Whatever it takes.
Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Don't tell you this guy was boiling.
He was.
I come all of those miles. And there's supposed to be something special here. Well, you wait till I get back. We're going to get something going here. We'll come back. This is the attitude he's got. Going to leave in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. Lord, I'd be more than willing to be a minister. If you'll give me them boom and fire down, everybody loves. type messages. Right, Brother Larry? How about the ones that everybody says, boy, you were good? How about the one everybody says, you made me feel so fuzzy inside? How about the ones you get through and everybody's sitting like, did you say that? No, well, you give me these and that stuff and I'll do your work. And the Lord will come along and say, here's one for you. Now, I used to fun with Brother Larry a little bit, but every once in a while the Lord would give me a message and I'd go to Brother Larry and said, but I wish he'd give you this one. This is the one for you, not me. People can not like him, it's okay, but don't like me. No, what I told the Lord was, whatever it takes.
Amen.
Whatever it takes to do it right. That's what I want to do. There's going to be times you're going to work for the Lord, folks, that people are going to cross their eyes a little bit.
Amen.
There's going to be times that they're going to say, did he really say that? Does he really believe that kind of stuff? What's this guy?
That's true.
There's going to be times, as workers of the Lord, I've said before in my defense, and there was times that people don't know this, and they think that there is a neglect in something when the only way I could have fulfilled it was to be two people. Do you know you can't be halfway across the country? Brother Larry, you can't be halfway across the country with two people dying at the same time, can you? No, you're going to have to only be with one of them. There's time that somebody might need prayer and somebody else is doing it and he's neglectful. Sometimes you'd have to be three or four people to do it. People don't know that, but we know.
Yes.
But what are we going to do? The easy stuff? Brother Bell called it the bread and cheese preachers. Just there for the rewards and the good things? No. Whatever it takes. Whatever. I know that there is a certain thing goes along with ministry. Hey, it went along with Peter and it went along with Paul. It went along with the great ones and the greatest preachers that ever walked. They crucified him for it.
That's right.
So we're in a good lineage anyway.
Amen.
So the prophet says to the man, you know what he told him? He didn't tell him an opinion. Do y'all want my opinion? Of course you don't want my opinion. I'll give you my opinion out on the steps later, okay? Or out on the ball. We can get all the opinions going we want. But you all don't want my opinion. What the good is it? You don't want my opinion. Elijah did not give him an opinion. He doesn't go ahead and say it. It's a given. Where did he get that from? There's all kinds of scenarios that he could have gave him. We see it in the scriptures all along the ways. Some he touched, some he did this, some they did a spectacular, some they didn't get that. But the Lord tailor-made this for Naaman.
Yes, he did.
You want healed? You're going to have to do whatever it takes.
That's right.
You're going to have to do whatever it takes. What's it going to take for me, Lord? What's it going to take for me? You know the Lord will deal with each one of us in our own individual personal way that fits us. And some he's going to come and say, this is what I want from you, and this is what you got to do, and this is how it works. And to others, he won't say that at all. He'll say something different. He'll work with us as individuals. Thank God. He knows me that well. The Lord knows I'm a little shallow and don't get things real quick, so he'll give me good illustrations. I need something tangible. People can say things, and I'll say, that's totally abstract to me. Would you please give me a picture? Give me a life happening to fit that because I can't get it just with the word. I need to visualize something. You know, the Lord's real good about giving me storylines and vision, thoughts and things to picture in together. Why? It's the only way he can get it to me. Thank God that he's willing to give. I love parables. Why? I can understand how things grow. I can understand the parable and then I can get the rest of it. God knows each one of our hearts. And what he is saying to us is that what our victory is, I'm going to tell you, the victory is in our surrender. Not in our standing up. It's in our surrender down. In our willingness to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I know you know. I know you're the best. You're the leader of life. I know that. I'll do whatever I need to do. Well, Naaman was wroth. He was mad. He went around in a rage. Servant comes and says, in my mind, I remember when I was little, my mom used to read us this, she had this big book of, well, I think it was fairy tales or something, but it was these stories. And she used to read these stories. I was just fascinated by these stories. And there was these stories in there. I remember one of them was about this beautiful maiden's up on this glass hill. So the one that could get up there and get her, I guess, got her. So everybody was trying to get up there. Well, there comes this horse, and it goes up halfway, and the next one goes up so far. But finally, the guy comes on his white horse, and he's able to go up that mountain and do some great thing. You know, go pluck the tail feather of a gold eagle and dive to the bottom and get the pearl off the bottom. You do these great things. You'd have done it. Yeah, because it's worthy of me. Understand what I'm saying? Hey, I want a job. Brother Kimball said one time he went with Brother Hargrave, went to a meeting and said he was just first starting to preach, and boy, he said I was fired up. He testified to the young brother in this. He said, I was fired up. I was ready to go. Said, I went to that meeting. I said, I had messages. Man, he said, I was ready to lay the gospel down on him. He said, finally, Brother Hurst will come to me, put his arm. Said, Brother Kimball, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready, brother. I'm ready. You ready to work for the Lord? Yeah, I'm ready to work for the Lord. These young people need somebody to have some young people meeting with them. What? Oh, please.
That's Brother Herschel.
I'm ready to do some great thing. Why don't you do some little thing?
Start there first.
Well, nobody's going to say that. Who's going to say, now he brought it down. I never did hear people in young people's class get up and testify, man, brother brought it down, young people. He brought it down. I mean, it was on fire. He brought that priest was preaching it. No. I want the crowd. Now give me some. I'm ready. What you young people need is a leader. Oh, he said, oh, boy, he said, you know what he done? Whatever it took.
Whatever it took.
Got in there and done the job.
Yeah.
Well, here's a prophet. He ain't going to do something great. How much? All he told you to do was wash and be clean.
Amen. That's all he told me to do.
Just told you to wash and be clean. I'm ready to preach, and he says, I want you to pray. You be there to pray for service. What? Prayer? Just whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Lord, is that what it takes?
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. So, then went he down. I don't know. I guess I take a lot of liberty in this, but the guy was enraged. He gives me a little bit of room to think this way. The guy was mad. So I'm going to tell you, somewhere between being enraged, you guys know how this is, somewhere between being enraged and getting to where he wasn't enraged when he stepped in the water. I'm convinced of it. There had to be a change somewhere between rage and... So I can get rage. And I didn't even get calm going into the water. But somewhere between there was a little bit of cooling down, like...
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. How am I going to get there? I'm going to get there. And then there was... I made a big scene back there, didn't I? Now, the bigger scene you make beforehand, the bigger deal it is afterhand. So I just made a big deal about how ridiculous this was and how much better the water is over there and how ridiculous, and that's ridiculous, and I'm not going to do it. To I'm doing it. That's eating crow, folks. That's I'm telling you, we make an order sometimes on ourselves, and then you would get to the place, and the good Lord knows I've done this over and over before.
Yeah.
To where then I have to say, this is not going to be hard. Mm-hmm. I proclaimed something. And now I'm going to have to de-proclaim it. And so I say, I'm going to do it anyway. Because I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yes, and if that means if I've got to humble myself down and say, I was acting ugly. I was doing it wrong. I jumped ahead of myself. I was being impulsive. I'm sorry. Sorry that that was that way. I'll do whatever it takes. So now, in my mind, there's this great man. Great man. What does a great man do when, before he goes into the water? Does he take his great robe off and his great crown? I know how poor people do it. But how does a great man go in with dignity? How does a great man go in with dignity? You got to be better than the other one. You got to go in with dignity. Ain't no way to go in, Jordan, folks. Dignified. You go in humble.
You go in humble, that's right.
You put your head down. That's how you do it. I'm imagining he took off whatever was proper to take off. And in my mind, there's a lot of people there that was liking the moment, but they couldn't show it. You know, he needed to humble himself. He needed to humble himself. But I'm not going to show it on my face. It's starting to show myself. But watch him go in. God knows what you need.
Amen.
God knows you need to humble yourself.
Need to humble.
God knows it. He'll bring the place. Lord, help us. And you know, in my mind, he could have said, why seven times? I mean, well, why is it once enough? I'd like to know what kind of God and what kind of riddle we're playing here. You know, when you ask questions, what is it? Because to me, if you could go in there, you could almost do anything to get in under the water once. You could go out there and say, hey, well, this is right. Oops, I'm down. Oh, well, no, one. Two. Somebody counting. Three. Gotta go. Seven times. I'm going to tell you what seven times did. In the scriptures, and you all know this, but in the scriptures, seven is a particular number that means something. Perfect. It means completion. It means total. It means done. Finished. His humility was total after seven. Yeah. God knew exactly how many times he needed to do that.
Right.
And he told him. I got a question. It's curious to me. See what y'all think. If he had only dipped seven times, would he have been six-sevenths healed? Would he have been healed at all?
No.
Sister Nita says he wouldn't have been healed at all. So you go in and you got to hit the seven mark, right? So you'd have really been a fool to have done it five times and quit. So I'm done. I ain't humbling myself no more. Some people do, Sister Mary. That's just the point. Sometimes we're going to humble ourselves. I'm going to apologize. I've heard some of the feeblest, weakest apologies for somebody that wanted to get the blessing you ever heard. Somebody apologized to me one time by saying, I know we both done wrong. And I'm just saying, well, you may be accurate, but you sure ain't humble. Well, we both done wrong, so, hey, okay, I'm sure you're really blessed. That poured down on you. Spirit of God must have just poured all over you on that one. You go so far to do part, but not get, go, no, listen. What does it take? What's it going to take? Why come up short of it? Why go six times and not the seventh one? Why not go all the way? Hey, listen, look at me. Look at this. Hey, I love living this way. It's not a great, but look at me. I give something. Would it be kind of foolish not to go all the way? I mean, think about it sometimes. I went to service one time and I know what the Lord meant when the Lord said to me, Marty, if you're going, this is the way it's supposed to be. Marty, if you're going to go to service as often as you do, why don't you try to get something out of it? Yeah, good question. Good question. I'm going to be religious. I'm going to be fervent. I'm going to be diligent. Then why don't you go all the way?
That's so, brother. That's so all the
do
way.
Do what it takes. Whatever it takes.
That's so.
Well, this man, he went down, dipped himself seven times into Jordan.
Yes, he did.
And you're right. six times don't get it.
He won't get it.
If he'd have quit on six and said, "I am not going. I've got my pride. I'm not going to do everything that I'm told." But the problem is that he would have still been a leper.
He sure would have been.
But when he humbled himself down, folks.
Yes, Lord.
I count a great man. If you want to be the least, if you want to be great, be the least. This man's greatness increased this day because he learned how to be low.
Yes.
You know what the scripture says? He created. You know what the scripture says? His skin came back like a baby's skin. He was totally, totally healed. There was another man that got that leprosy. You remember that? Mm-hmm. The servant of Elisha's tried to get the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we can't sell God's stuff. Elisha wasn't interested in selling God. God gave that. That was from God to Naaman. There's no price.
That's right.
I disagree with it, and I've always disagreed with it. Don't ever try to make what God does merchandise, folks.
Right.
It ain't pleasing to God that such sell trying to sell his stuff. Freely we've received it. It isn't of us. Freely we give. We should give our voices. We should give our talents. We should give it all to the Lord freely. Because he gave it to us. This man, although it took some prodding, and sometimes we need prodding, sometimes we need encourage, sometimes we need help. But the bottom line was this man done whatever it took. He got the blessing because he done what it took to get it. And it was, when God lays it down, there's nothing else that you can do to get it. Except for what he did. I want to look at another scripture in Matthew, the 9th chapter. I want about 20. It says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem, I shall be whole." You know, I really believe this, and this is from experience.
Yes.
I believe that God meets every individual at their faith.
Amen.
Yes.
I think God inspires things to our hearts. I don't know why. We're so different about this kind of stuff. There was a centurion one time in the scriptures that didn't need to touch anything. He just didn't need to touch anything. He had an understanding in his heart and a belief about who Jesus was that superseded some of this other stuff. God met him at that faith he had. And I can say he had a great faith because Jesus said that he did. How great the faith. And he marveled that a centurion, a Roman, not somebody with lineage and heritage, had got to the place of such a faith that he could say, "You don't even need to go. You don't even need to be in the vicinity." I'm going to tell you, do you know that the faith that he had actually put him, I believe, in the that the centurion put him as the Son of God. His faith.
Yes, he did.
His faith accepted him as the Son of God. Because who else can do something over distance?
That's right.
He
believed
it. His faith believed it. And God met him there. Right there. Here was a woman that said within herself, after 12 years of spending her money, trying all that she could do to get better, and she got worse and nothing else was happening. But her heart hooked on the Lord with a hope. Had a hope. But it was dependent on something. Right?
Yes.
She said within herself, I've got a part to play here. I believe he's a helper. He's going to do something. And she said, whatever it takes. You know, she could have got over in her chair and said, "Bah!
That's right.
If he's the Son of God, he knows about this, right?" I mean, you could have took the attitude of, well, Son of God ought to come over here and help me. If he's compassionate, he knows I've been 12 years at this. You could have all kind of things. You know what I'm saying? But instead, she said, whatever it takes. What is it going to take for me to get the blessing? And she says in herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Now, there's a crowd. There's a crowd. There's a lot of people. By the nature of a blood disorder that she had, she would have been weak of body, right? I mean, that's what it does to you. She would have been a weak person. She wouldn't have been a forceful. She'd have been weak. It would have been a long journey. You know, sometimes what's an easy journey for us is a long journey for somebody else. It was a long journey for her. I've got a question for you. If she had just come short of touching the hem of a garment, would she have been healed? Do you think that if she had come within 6 inches and said, I got as close as I could get, would she have been healed? Her faith was, if I could touch the hem of his garment, and you know what it's going to take? Touching the hem of his garment. That's what it's going to take. You know, God has a way of inspiring our hearts. God's real, folks. God's real. If we're real with him, if we're there to receive of the Lord. My oldest son one time was sick. He was a little boy. He was sick, fevered and sick and all. And he was always one that says, Daddy, pray for me. You know, he always touches your heart. They're sick. Touches, oh, Daddy, pray for me. So he's laying on the couch, fevering and sick. He said, oh, Daddy, I feel bad. You know, pray for me. So I went and prayed for him. You know, we pray for people. We believe our prayers. We believe God hears our prayers. That was the kind of the mode that I was in. I was in the mode that I know God hears and answers prayer, and I prayed the best I could in my faith and belief, and that's, we do this regularly. I prayed for him. And it wasn't but a few moments. He says, Daddy, pray for me. So I prayed for him again, and we had prayer. And I got up, and I walked in through the living room, went to the kitchen, and about the time I got into the kitchen, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, pray for him again. That's all it was. Pray for him again. I'm going to tell you, I turned around, and it was totally different than the prayers I prayed before.
Oh, yeah.
God, the Lord had told me, pray for him. I had a surge of expectation. I had a surge of hope. I had a surge of confidence. I went in and put my hand on him and prayed, knowing full well that God was going to do something. And wasn't disappointed. Pray for him, and in a moment the fever left, and in a moment he's back. God had told me, go pray for him. You know, God, there's a difference. I believe that God inspired this woman to have faith that if she touched the hem of his garment, and God met her there at that faith. There is others that probably wouldn't need to have touched anything. There's others that, you know, Jesus did some things, it's almost unexplainable, other than this. There was a man that had, he was blind, and Jesus comes up and makes spit. I mean, could he have healed him without that? You think Jesus had the power to heal him without making the little thing of mud? I think Jesus could have done it that way. I think Jesus could have put his hand on his head or on his toe, turned around backwards or left and done it. He could have done it instantaneously or over time. But he done it by putting spit on the guy's eyes. I don't think it was Jesus that needed it. I don't think it was us that needed to read about it. I think this man needed something to touch his faith. To help him to believe. And I think whatever it was the Lord done, he knew that man. He didn't do that a lot, did he? But he done it there. So, don't think it's abnormal when something happens in your life you can't really explain. God dealing with you. And what our heart ought to be. You ain't putting that mud on my eyes. Saints don't do that. You ain't going to do it. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Just having a Bible study up home. I wasn't there, but I appreciate Brother Mike was there. We had some visitors that day, they told me. And it was on the conversation, or on the Bible study, I think it was a Sunday school lesson, about baptism. The question come up about being baptized again after there have been people that, I think it was in the lesson, but people that maybe go away from the Lord, come back. One of the visitors took offense to it and stood up and told how bad that was and how unbelieving, all this stuff that you know, of the work that was done and all this. Brother Mike's comment on it after he got through was, said, I don't know about you all, but around here, he said, we do whatever it takes. I said, I don't believe there could have been a better answer. Around here, brother, we do whatever it takes to make it right. We do whatever it needs to be done. Lord, help us to do whatever it needs to be done. Here's a woman. Issue of blood. I get around better than she does, no doubt. She said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Well, that was the work that Jesus had to be done. One of the other scriptures said that he sensed, I think he said, or he felt, and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, you're thronged about. There's people everywhere, and you say somebody touched me. No, they didn't touch me like that. Yeah, they didn't touch me. They touched me. Lord, help us today to do whatever it takes. Do you know that our whole livelihood is dependent on the one called Jesus Christ? We can proclaim anything else or ideas or I'm a smart guy or I've got it all together or all that. It is our lifeline. It is our existence that we touch Jesus.
That's right.
That is where, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to accomplish? Stay in contact with the Lord. My whole point and purpose is to keep a relationship with the Lord if I'm going to be saved.
Yes.
If I'm going to be successful, why do we come to meetings? To encourage us. Edifying is what it's about. It's encouraging. To do what? Be close to Jesus. I mean, this is the whole point of it all. It all comes back to Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I should do it, whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. I'll say in this time, I have a burden about it for a long time. I'm concerned about it.
Yeah.
About the letdown in the real devotion.
Yeah.
That we're let down in the real concern of our services.
That's right.
I mean, a little haphazard about the whole thing. It's not the whole thing. It's the indication that I'm talking about. It's an indication of something. Am I willing to do what it takes? Well, I got this going, and I got that going, and I got this going, and that going. Well, you always have this, that going, and that going, and life is life. To drop that kind of stuff and say, no, I'm going to go because for one thing, the Lord wants me to. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. Well, the service is dry. Well, then liven it up. Don't blame everybody else. That preacher is dry. Come on then, pray for me. I mean, help me. Help me. I'm in it. I wish it was better. I wish it was mine. Pray. Do something. Liven it up. You're responsible too. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll do what it takes to do. Because my soul is involved. My family's involved. My children's involved. The people around me's involved. I'm going to have to do whatever it takes. Folks, today you're going to have to do whatever it takes. And I ask the question again in closing. What would you do to go to heaven? What would you do? Well, the scripture says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Would he give the whole world? You know, I believe that scripture doesn't have much power in it while we're here. It's a pretty good thought. But I want to tell you where its power comes from. Its power comes from those that's lost. Then you ask that question. Ask the rich man that's in torment what he would give in exchange for his soul, and he would say, the whole world. You don't get the fullness of it until you get the penalty of not doing it involved in it. So what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Everything.
That's right.
What is people giving in exchange for their soul today? Most? None. Nothing. What should we be willing to do? We should be willing to do whatever it takes. If I have to be baptized again, I don't think he'd mind me telling, so I'm going to tell it, because he came to me one time. His brother Purvis was in Olly Hill, and he came to me one time and said, "Brother Marty, I don't know how you're going to think about me, but you know, I feel like I need to be baptized. After all these years," he said, "I was baptized years ago. I'd like to be baptized by Saint Minister." And his wife, Sister Purvis, got in there with him too and said, I would too. Well, they're going to have a baptizing out at the lake. Said, would you baptize us? I didn't have no great big theological explanation of why they shouldn't have. I said, that's what you need to do.
Do it.
Do it. If that's what you need to do it. You'd be better off than, you know, after they done that, they was as free. Oh, devil couldn't come along to them and say, you know, I was baptized with a saint. Why are you too proud to be baptized? No! Beat the devil. Just drop it in the air. Go get baptized. Devil wants this one. You'll go up in years. All kind of up in years. You're going to go get. Go. Hey, devil, you want to watch this one? I'll do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
A devil's defeated when you and I take this kind of position. You know why? Because the scripture says, everybody loves this part. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I always like to stop people and say, wait, you missed the first part of that. And there is nothing to this resisting the devil if you don't do the first part. None! Nothing! It says to submit yourself to God.
Yeah.
Submit yourself to God.
That's it.
And the devil has nothing left. When I'll do whatever it takes, what's he going to do with that? He might roar and complain, but he can't do nothing about somebody that's going to do whatever it takes. Jordan, old muddy water coming down. You kidding me, Jordan? Lord, I'll go dip in it. If that's what you want, that's what it takes, I'll dip in it. Touch the hem of your garment and push through the crowd, wade through the things. I'll do it if it takes it. Whatever it takes. You mean I got to apologize to people that was done me more wrong than I did them? I'll work up an apology for that one, well, I know you're 97% wrong and I'm only 3, but I wanted to apologize for my 3%. Well, Lord bless us to know how to do it. That's not the way to do it. You pray for me.